this particular topic. And so that's probably why Dad gave it to me as well. So just thank you, Father, and I pray that you would speak to us all, your people. You would fill us with your love and your life so that we can do the things you have prepared for us. And I just pray, yeah, help us to know what you want to say to us today. Help us to listen, to pay attention, and to obey, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the passage is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Okay, and it's I am the true vine. Oh, I've just realised I haven't pressed, not that it matters, but I haven't pressed go on the old projector thingy. There we go. Lovely. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that wherever you ask, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Great. There's quite a lot in that passage. So, and I also recognise, by the way, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Translations are going to have a few variations here. It all gets at the same thing. So just for those who it may help, the word abide means to dwell or remain in. So you might see remain in my love, you know, fruit that remains, that kind of thing. Anything else useful here? Just to mention before we read, you'll get the idea. I think, to be honest, this first part, we're going to all have a look just for 5 minutes, something like that. Be in a pair. I think it helps to be in a pair, okay? So just pair up with someone and just, you don't have to reread the chapter out verbally, but just sort of look at it together and maybe make a little comment to each other. And I want you to mainly think of two things. Number one, have you got any questions? I mean, try and figure them out as you go, obviously. But have you got any questions? And number two is just, is there anything you like notice or something like that? Yeah. Okay, we'll give it 5 minutes from here. Things they notice, stuff that they, I mean, a lot of it's for ourselves, right? So you don't have to, I'm not trying to get you to share everything, but does anyone have a burning question or something that they just are like, wow. Yes, Joe. Right. So verse 6. Yeah, verse 6 there. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire and burned. And Joe said, I thought God forgives everyone. Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Good. So tell you what, let's get into it. So we will go. Oh, hang on. I don't see Pete. Does Pete need to press buttons? Okay, so we're running. We're going to have a very interesting moment on the tape if we don't. I wondered if the tape was still recording because we paused. Yeah, okay, it is. Great. Good to know. Oh, well. Right. So a little bit about context. I'm actually going to add a bit here more than what I had on the slide before, actually. So what is the context of this? Well, because this is going to help us understand. So if you have a look, I mean, on the timeline, we're obviously at the end of the purple part there, the life of Christ, right? This is, we're not just at the end of that, we're on the last, like, a fraction of a millimeter here. This is the Last Supper, the night of Jesus' arrest, okay? In fact, Judas has already gone out, yeah? That's happened, chapter 13. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and all that lot, yeah? Chapter 14, Jesus has just introduced the idea of the Holy Spirit as the helper whom he will send. It's not the first time he's mentioned the Holy Spirit, but he specifically says in chapter 14, I'm going and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to who has, you know, he has been with you, but now he's going to be in you, right? To sort of continue that. So this is Jesus's like goodbye, I guess, kind of goodbye speech to his disciples. He's preparing them for what's to come. Yeah, he's preparing them for the fact that they are going to face a great trial and a great discouragement the next day, all kinds of confusion, yeah? And then he's also got a lot of work for them to do, which is, if you want to look at the timeline, would be the next, like, 2,000 years or so far, which goes up to about just above that little box on the wall there I worked out, if you look at the spacing. Anyway, so he has work for them to do, for us to do, yeah? So that's what he's doing here. Okay. Do I want to say anything else there? I think that will do for now. So a brief mention of the vine, right? He says the true vine. What does that immediately make you think? Yeah, like, oh, was there like a previous model? You know, was there yeah? And of course it is. So yes, we've got various ones here. So The vine is used quite significantly and repeatedly to refer to Israel in the Old Testament. It's a repeated parable that God tells in various ways. So I'll read out some verse references and then I'll probably read one of them, something like that. I'll see where I get to. So we've got Isaiah 5, 1 to 7. It's probably the main one. Jeremiah 2, 21 to 22. And Psalm 80. 8 to 16. Thanks for the references, by the way, Dad. anyway, so I'll read Isaiah here. So Isaiah 5, 1 to 7 is, and this is early in the book of Isaiah, so, you know, yeah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I shall also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. And he looked for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Okay, so this is a well-known one. There's several more here. Actually, the Jeremiah one is only two verses, so I can read that. Yet I planted you a choice vine, wholly of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord God. You get the idea. So God uses this idea of bringing a vine. In fact, the Psalm 81 specifically references God bringing a vine out of Egypt, right? So the idea is, you know, God sort of extracts them from slavery and difficulty and stuff and does all this stuff and gives them his law and all these, you know, ceremonies and ways to remind them of himself and of, you know, ways of being, and he tells them what justice is, and he says things like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't invent that. That's Leviticus. He says things like, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Yeah, that kind of thing. That's Deuteronomy. He says those things. And so it's like he's supplied all the things they need, get them going. Yeah, he helped them against their enemies. He gave them a land, all of that. And what he was looking for was righteousness and justice and right behavior and devotion and things like that. And he gets, you know, well, humans like us, to be honest. Yeah, he gets people being selfish and people being, you know, yeah, faithless and so on. So that's the first time the vine is introduced, and it's a kind of theme, all right? And interestingly, not many days before this, I forgot to put this on the, I didn't think of it in time to put it on the PowerPoint, but not many days before this time when Jesus is speaking, he has just used that exact imagery as a parable. I think it's Mark 12 and Matthew 22, I think. We'll come up to it soon in Matthew anyway. But do you remember Jesus tells the parable of the vineyard? Yeah, the vineyard that didn't, yeah, and he adapts it. He does it differently, but he makes use of some of the same figures. And he specifically in that one, he introduces the sort of caretakers, the tenant farmers of the vineyard, which he puts Israel's leaders in that position. And he tells them this extremely scathing story, although technically he's told it as a picture. And so they can't quite arrest him for it, because he's not said anything that you can prove in court. He's just told a story about a vineyard and things, but they get the idea, yeah? And so Jesus, just a couple days before, has had this showdown with the religious leaders, and he's used that exact thing. So when he says to his disciples, I am the true vine, yeah? He's presenting himself as basically, I am Israel 2.0, yeah? I am the one, of course, he is an Israelite, so this is not, you know, something completely outside, but he is the one who is truly going to accomplish the goals that God has for Israel. Yeah, that's the general idea. I am the true vine, he says, okay? And the rest of the message here is about being connected to him. If I was going to summarize some things, this is just some stuff I sort of noticed, same as you guys. So Jesus wants to fill us and energize us with his love, okay? His love filling us is the only thing that will enable us to actually do the tasks that he has for us in the way that he wants us to do them, okay? I'm just going to note here, this is great because one of the passages I was going to quote is like there on the wall, all right? So Ephesians 2, I'm going to read slightly more verses than that, but it ends with those. It's Ephesians 2, 4 to 10 says, but God, and notice the interplay of God's mercy and grace and him having stuff for us to do, yeah? But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yeah? Notice that he's prepared us for good works, but these are clearly the kind of good works that we need his power in us to do, right? This is not going to be something that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, right? So it's all about being connected with him. And this is not brand new to you, but it's good to meditate on these things. So I've put here, sure, we could probably grant out a few achievements in our own power at the cost of some bitterness or possibly with low commitment or something, but we cannot joyfully work from a place of rest. I'm just kind of mentioning that thing that's come up before. We cannot joyfully work from a place of rest without deep connectedness to Jesus, which enables him to fill us with his love. Yeah? Have you ever had those? I've had lots of these situations where like you're feeling someone's really hurt you or something's really got you down or whatever it is, you know, it might be, you know, it might be financial, might be illness, it might be interpersonal, whatever it is, but there's something really getting at you, particularly if it's people, and you're just, yeah, and then you go to God about it, and you pray to him, and you just say, okay, you know, I want you to forgive me, so I guess I need to forgive them. And then you suddenly find it's just like God's love just pumps into you. You know what I mean? And you just go, actually, I can. Suddenly, it's not a big deal. You know? there's no way we can do the works that God wants us to do without his love pumping through us. Now, often we say it that way around, but I also feel like, as I'm saying this, I should say it the other way around as well. If you are staring at some works that God wants you to do that you can't do, that you don't want to do, that it's just, yeah? Then here's the good news, right? The good news is he was never expecting you to do it without filling you with his love and peace and power. Not that you're not already, but do you see what I mean? Like he is there. He's ready to equip you for that thing, yeah? He's ready to just, can you believe this? That Jesus was full of peace and full of joy. He often rejoiced, right? Yes, he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He had lots of reasons for it. But the point is that he went through many sufferings that were far more than us. And yet, somehow, he still was full of joy. He wasn't, you know, grunting it out. You know what I mean? So the point is, if there's something that you think that God has for you to do, and you're like, oh, it's going to be such a drag, or you just need to keep going in something, the good news is, I think God just wants to remind me, and perhaps you, that he wants to fill you. And it's a kind of filling where it will start to make that thing feel like, you know, his burden is light. Yeah? It will start to make that thing feel like, somehow with God's help, I can do this. Yeah? Good. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the pruning thing, but Joe asked the question. So I will note that in verse 2, when it says the Father prunes, depending on translation, it'll say prunes or maybe cleans. That's because the word, I guess it's the Greek word in this case. I haven't checked the specific language, but anyway. The word for pruning a vine is just the word to clean. It means to clean it, to care for it, but that includes taking off, you know, useless bits of branches and so on, or useless bits of leaves that aren't needed and all that lot that people do to get the most fruit out of a vine. So that word is cleans, which is why in verse 3 he then says, and you are clean. Yeah, so it connects. Like God, the Father is going to clean you and you are clean because of the words I've already said to you and things like that. Yeah, notice Jesus' words are mentioned. Jesus' love is mentioned. Yeah. Obeying him is mentioned through this passage. Loving one another is mentioned in this passage. He's not really reinventing the wheel here. He's more like summarizing. You know these things. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. This is how everyone will know you're my disciples. Yeah, that stuff. Cool. Okay, time-wise, I'm going to quickly answer that thingy and then I need to get to my last bit. So, the question always comes up in this passage about, like, what about the branches that get burned? Yeah? Notice that these are branches that sort of voted themselves out, for one thing. They didn't remain connected to Jesus. Yeah? And now, if you chop a branch off a plant, it looks fine for a bit, and then it sort of dries up. But notice there's another delay between that and, you know, they eventually get gathered up and thrown away, you know, once they've sort of dried out. Yeah. So I don't think this passage is, Jesus isn't primarily getting at the thing of salvation and judgment and that kind of thing. He's not trying to get at, can you lose your salvation? As I pointed out when we were chatting in our bit, he's mostly getting at, he's preparing them, isn't he? He knows what's about to happen. In fact, straight after this, if you look in the passage, what he starts talking about is how the world hates him and he's going to persecute him and he's going to do the same to us. So it's more like he's equipping them. He's saying, here's the way forward. Yeah, be connected to me. Remain filled with my love. Remain filled with my word. Yeah, obey my commandments and I will energize you to do what's got to be done. Yeah, if you imagine being a, you know, if you're in the business of following Jesus. We don't have to imagine this. We've all done it. Has anyone ever been in the business of following Jesus whilst not connecting with Jesus. Yeah? Now that's a losing business, you know what I mean? It's not going to work. It's not going to work, right? So I think, yes, of course there's a warning here, and there is a warning that eventually, you know, if we just disconnect ourselves from God and we don't stay loyal to him and we don't, you know, we don't stick close with his love and we don't pay attention to his word and we don't obey his commands and we don't love one another, then yes, at some point he's going to call us a phony, and yeah, but it seems like that's more of a, there's a delay. It's eventually, you know, these things will be gathered up. So that's usually a term referring to the end. So, you know, yeah, if you're feeling a bit dry, well, just get reconnected. You can do that. Yeah. And this is more a passage about his love for us. He knows what we're facing and he wants us to be equipped and enjoy. All right. I'll just mention some passages here. I'm not going to take a lot of time on these, but these are some other passages that mention fruit. Like, what is the fruit? So Ephesians 5 has about living in purity and honesty. These are worth reading through probably in community groups and things. The, as usual, the way I do it, if anyone's listening on the recording, the PowerPoint that's in the same place as the recording, I always put the passages in the notes bit. So if you know how to open the notes bit in a PowerPoint presentation, they are there. And if you don't, you can ask someone. Anyway, so we've got the references, or you could just look them up yourself, because I've got the references here. So Christ-like character is one. That's the fruit of the Spirit, is, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. What did I miss? Anyway. yep. I mentioned it on the way through. So you've got living in purity and honesty, yeah? You've got Christ-like character. You've got fruit is people brought to eternal life. Yeah, that's actually fruit as well. Jesus mentioned that in John 4. Always powerful when it's the same book being used with the same imagery, right? Also the ability to follow Jesus' example in giving up our life for God to benefit others, right? So that's the whole thing of unless the seed falls into the ground, it remains alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it produces much fruit. And Jesus is talking about himself, but that way of thinking is only possible because of that, yeah? Okay. I'm just going to finish by, if I can get there quickly enough. Oh, where's my mouse? Actually, I'll get someone else to do it. Can anybody read out Psalm 1? There's plenty of this sort of thing in the Old Testament, the New Testament, everywhere. Anybody want to read it out? Actually, by the microphone would help. Okay. Let's see. Who's good at that? Oh, okay. Yeah, we have a portable.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Thank you. A tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Yeah. Lord God, we want to be like that. I get the feeling at the moment that we've been facing more and more opposition. An opportunity as well. And you have tasks prepared for us. And we know, and I'm learning, you know, we can't do it without connectedness to you, without you pumping your life through us and your love, filling us with your love, a supernatural love. Lord, fill us with supernatural love today, we pray, that we could be light and life for you, in our families and friends and, you know, our neighbourhoods, our workplaces. Help us to withstand the perhaps the mockery or just the difficulties of life or the road that you've put in front of us, but I believe you. You say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and it is because you want to fill us with your love and power. So I just pray that you will do that.
Yeah.
And I thank you because I've got experience of you doing this a lot. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Amen.